Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. The Missouri History Museum Board is in the midst of a search for a replacement for longtime President Bob Archibald. They've asked a former executive with Emerson to step in as the search continues. His name is Bob Cox, and we'll be talking with him just a little bit later. But first, still with the history motif, next year St. Louis is celebrating its semi-quincentennial. That's the 250th anniversary. That calls for a party, and there will be one. You can come early and stay late because it's going to last a year. A special region-wide series of events has been announced, and it seems there's something for everyone. It's all being organized by the nonprofit organization STL 250. We're joined now by STL 250's Executive Director, Aaron Buddy. Aaron, so nice to have you with us.
It's great to be here, Don.
I have to imagine this was a most challenging operation for you and the folks associated with it to put all of this together.
You know, when we look back over the last even 100 years worth of celebrations that St. Louis has had, the bar has been set really high.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, and so to think about, you know, what is the legacy that we're going to leave behind and how will people remember this really major celebration in our lifetime? You're right. It has been a challenge.
Well, how have you gone about meeting that challenge?
So early on, about 3 years ago, Bob Archibald and the History Museum really brought together a very good diverse group of leaders and grassroots leaders from throughout St. Louis. And they put their heads together to think about what the celebration needed to look and feel like, and really came down to a strong commitment to being inclusive, to being region-wide. And to really not dictating how the region should celebrate, but to really reach out to everybody else and invite them to help us figure that out.
I think our general manager, Tim Eby, was part of that process, was he not?
He absolutely was, and we've managed to keep a hold of him. So he's actually joined our board of directors and is providing some great leadership for us.
And Mayor Slay and Executive Dooley, both a big part of all of this.
Yeah, so the mayor and the county executive are co-hosting the event for us. So, you know, really with that essence of collaboration and inclusiveness, they're partnering to throw this party for the region. We have a board of directors right now that's about 30 people strong that include some really great leaders and well-known names from throughout the community that we're currently expanding, really with an eye toward diversity in age, in gender, and where they live in the region. And that board is co-chaired by Tom and Carol Voss of Ameren.
You're still open to suggestions for things to do? I mean, or is it all booked solid for the year?
No. So STL 250 as an organization will commit to hosting several signature events that will keep the energy kind of high and punctuated throughout the year. But we're also committed to reaching out to everybody else in the region, whether they are schools or churches or neighborhoods or nonprofit organizations, and really challenging them to come up with really inventive and creative ways to celebrate. And we'll help promote those.
And we're going to do the same thing on this program. We're going to offer the opportunity for listeners, if they want to call in a little bit later, to give us their ideas for things that they would like to see. You know, it seems to me that it would have been fairly easy, even though it is a major anniversary, to just kiss it off with a little celebration down on the riverfront on February 14th and let it go at that.
You know, we have too much momentum going on in St. Louis right now. There are big pockets of energy and excitement and creativity and success. And if we don't use this major milestone as an opportunity to come together and to amplify that success by connecting those dots and letting everybody know, not just here in St. Louis, but outside of St. Louis, about all the great things going on, that would be a really missed opportunity.
I would think that this would capture a lot of national attention, given the scope of what you and yours and all of us are going to be doing.
You know, we've had a lot of conversations about that amongst our board and our committees. We have about 150 people involved through our different planning committees. And when you look at things like the St. Louis Art Museum's opening of their new wing and the excitement that attracted by national media, we really want to keep that rolling and give them lots of new story ideas and opportunities to come to St. Louis and to see everything we love about it.
Well, let's talk about some of the keystone events. Obviously, we can't cover everything, but there are some things that I think people are already beginning to talk about. What is the premier event?
You know, I think the premier event is going to be the birthday weekend. But before I delve into that, we're going to bookend the celebration year in partnership with Grand Center and their wonderful family-friendly first night activities on New Year's Eve. In the middle of the year, we have a close partnership with Fair St. Louis. And so they'll really be working with us to make that 4th of July celebration for the region a high point of the celebration year. But the birthday weekend is February 14th, 15th, and 16th. It starts off with Valentine's Day. And we are going to really wrap our arms around the idea that we don't do a whole lot of stuff in February. And so we're throwing what we're calling a Burnin' Love Festival. We will take over Art Hill. And so picture live entertainment of concert quality. Picture hot chocolate happy hours, 250 couples getting engaged, maybe 250 couples getting married. Heated tents where sweethearts can have dinner, but then also really working with the other institutions that are located in and around the park to see if they want to really have something special that evening as well. The centerpiece of that Burn and Love Festival will be what we're envisioning as a probably 20-foot tall heart sculpture. It'll be mounted temporarily in the Grand Basin, but it'll literally be set on fire. So hence you have the burning love imagery. And then we're also in conversations to really create some other unique ways that we can light up some of the other canals and waterways around the Grand Basin area.
I had read somewhere that there were going to be some permanent sconces that would be put out in the park in that area that would be permanent and burning 24/7?
You know, I think the idea is there's sconces that can be available for permanent use so they can come out at the appropriate times. Mm-hmm. You know, we want to be very good partners, you know, with the Parks Department and with Forest Park Forever. And so really provide those additive pieces, but not changing the nature of the park.
You know, I'm in the park a lot, and one of the most impressive things that I've seen there was on the anniversary of 9/11, when they had American flags on Art Hill representing each of the victims of that tragedy. It was really sort of awe-inspiring to watch that day after day.
You know, I think Art Hill really is a gathering place for our community. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've seen it used in so many different ways, going even back to the 150th anniversary in 1914, where 150,000 people a night came out three nights running for the pageant and mask, mm-hmm. which was a big outdoor performance and really was attributed to founding the Muni.
Yeah. It's a wonderful location, no question about that. What about the riverfront? I mean, we have to acknowledge mid-February event 250 years ago got started right down there.
And that's absolutely true. So we know in the celebration year in 2014, the riverfront really is going to be under the transformation that City Arch River is heading up with Great Rivers mm-hmm. Greenways. And so we will be reenacting the landing and the founding of St. Louis, but we'll actually do it on Laclede's Landing. So a little bit north maybe of where it actually happened, but that historical moment and documenting it with not just the landing, but also vignettes of some of our other historical figures in the early years of the region, that's an important piece that we need to have.
So there will be other reenactments as well?
You know, we are anticipating that many historical groups will have not only reenactment-type activities, but also historical symposia. So there'll be lots of opportunities for learnings, lots of books published about our history.
How about the funding for all of this? It doesn't happen by itself, obviously.
Yep. No, it really doesn't. But we are looking to our lead companies and headquartered companies here in the region. We're looking to our foundations and we're looking to individuals for investment. But STL 250, I think, has done something very smart. It decided that rather than to dictate and plan exclusively all of the events that were going to happen, we're going to leverage all of the great things that are going on already. And so by being very committed to being a volunteer-led organization and working with the thousands of wonderful things that already happen in the region, we can really keep the cost for this very low. So we're looking for that one-time investment that can really help us make this special.
I'm sure folks know where to find you. You've got a website, undoubtedly, where people can help out if they choose to do so. How about entertainment? Any big names coming into town that you know of?
You know, so I think that I keep saying that we are building this airplane while we're flying it. There are lots of details that remain to be put into place, but we know that Fair St. Louis and the concert series that happens in the summer will happen, and we'll have lots of opportunities for those kinds of things.
You'll be making use of social media also as part of this whole process.
We are. So our website will be the hub, stl250.org. But in addition to that, we already have a fantastic Facebook page, which is STL250 on Facebook if you search it. It is pushing out a St. Louis fact of the day. So this day in St. Louis history and the birthday of the day, some of them are well-known things that everybody loves to see those old pictures of. Some of them are really obscure, bits and pieces about Prohibition or about the Lemp family. But the really neat thing is the conversation that happens on Facebook once those get posted, when people really put in what they knew about it, or, oh my gosh, I've actually got pictures of this too. And we really welcome that conversation.
It's so helpful to have people get involved like that, and that generates the energy I'm sure you want to generate for the year. We're talking with Aaron Buddy, who is the executive director of STL 250. We're talking about the 250th anniversary of the city of St. Louis. It'll be observed next year. We'd like to get input from you, the listener, as to what some of the things you'd like to see during the course of this year. We have some already in through Facebook, and I'll be talking about those in just a moment. But you can give us a call. I hope you know the numbers by now, 382-8255. That's 382-TALK. You can send us an email at talk@stlpublicradio.org. We'll take a tweet, of course, at STL on air. Let me just read one of the ones that we've received so far, Aaron, to get your reaction to it. This is a Facebook message from Deb. She says, the World's Fair. That seems to have been an amazing event in the history of St. Louis. How will that be reflected, or will it be reflected during the celebration next year?
You know, Forest Park is going to be a key location for us for different things throughout the year. And there are a lot of conversations going on about how can we link in that location for the World's Fair with the celebrations that we're holding in 250. So, Deb, if you've got some ideas about that we should be thinking about, go ahead and shoot us an email.
All righty. And you shoot us an email, too, folks, if you want to get into this conversation. It's this talk@stlpublicradio.org. Back with Aaron Buddy in just a moment. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Hello again. Welcome back to our conversation with Aaron Buddy, who is the executive director of STL 250. That's the nonprofit organization that is setting up the celebration of St. Louis's 250th anniversary. It's a celebration that's going to take a year to fulfill, the year of 2014. During the break, Aaron, Mayor Francis Slay sent us a tweet directing us to a poll on his website about the city's 250th birthday, including a question about a debate over the day the city was founded. Is it February 14th, 1764, or February 15th? We have a link to our Facebook page right now. Okay, can you resolve that question for us?
Gosh, I wish I could. better historians than I have been after that one, so I think we're going to split the difference and have the fireworks at the Burn and Love Festival at midnight on the 14th.
What about other special touches that you're going to have? I know an awful lot of cake is going to be involved from what I've read.
Lots and lots of cake. So after the reenactment on the 15th, we'll have a wonderful official unveiling of a giant birthday cake at City Hall. But the really neat thing about it is it's also the unveiling of the location of 250 ornamental cakes that will be placed at historical locations and tourist attractions and wonderful public resources and, you know, all throughout our region in each of the counties and the major municipalities. And these cakes are activated with a software application that you can download to your smartphone. So when you find a cake, you actually get content pushed to your phone about where you are and why it's important, and you get registered as having found that cake so you can be part of a sweepstakes drawing.
You know, you have to wonder if the founders of this city were told what is going to be happening and we could download to our smartphones, what they would think.
You know, that's a little bit hard to even imagine.
Yeah, I'm sure they were thinking about, you know, where am I going to get my next meal? I hope there are a few rabbits around here, what have you. Let's go to the phones. Annette in University City joins us. Annette, go ahead. You're on the air with Aaron Buddy.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Aaron, I have a question. I'm a storyteller developing a show on the founding of St. Louis and having a really hard time finding books. And I noticed in the beginning of the broadcast that you mentioned that there will be new books that are coming out. Has anything come out yet? And what is coming out?
Oh, Annette, you couldn't have even asked a better question. So on our website, which is stl250.org, we actually have a reading list about the history of St. Louis. The website just launched on Monday, but I'm so glad to hear that this was a resource that's going to be really valuable to folks like you. I hope that you'll do one more thing for us, though, Annette. We are really trying to recruit opportunities that we can promote about what the rest of the region and folks like yourself are doing around the celebration year. And so on the website, you can actually register your event. So if you're going to hold some storytelling festivals or occasions, all you need to do is register them there. We'll have a look and make sure that they're positive and have that promoting St. Louis intent to them. And then we'll post them on a great event calendar that can tell everybody about the neat things that are going to happen during the celebration year.
Oh, that's great. That gives me a lot more energy to get the show going.
Wonderful, Annette. Thanks.
Thank you so much.
I would think this would be a wonderful opportunity for people like Annette. I mean, a storyteller, there are so many stories, so many songs to be sung, if you will, that people like Annette could play a great role.
You know, and it's not just individuals. It's also institutions, folks that do performance series, who hold festivals, who hold road races. It's service groups who are thinking about volunteer projects. All of those things really could be infused with the meaning and the brand of our 250th anniversary. And that's really what we're challenging people to come up with. How do you meaningfully celebrate this? And tell us about it so that we can bring new audiences to you and your event and your mission.
Was there much of a debate amongst you folks with regard to making this a regional celebration?
None at all. You know, I think that we have so many great organizations that are promoting this regional approach. And we also know that as a St. Louis metropolitan area, we can't compete globally unless we really think about ourselves as a region. So it was very much an easy decision to make to really get behind that movement and help to perpetuate it.
And there were no borders, municipal borders or boundaries 250 years ago, obviously.
Absolutely not.
I have another Facebook message here, this one from Mary Lynn. She writes, "The Native Americans who were here and the waves of immigrant communities who arrived and their part in the building of St. Louis, such as the French, the English, the Irish, the Germans, the Italians, and the African Americans who came here from the South after the Civil War, and the recent immigrant communities such as the Koreans and the Bosnians and the Indians and the others. If there's one thing that's important about St. Louis, it's that it has always been, is, and always has been a melting pot." Is this going to be reflected in anything that's established so far?
Absolutely. So the good thing about pitching a big tent and being regional and encouraging so many folks to come up with neat ideas is that there's room in the celebration to really have a conversation and to celebrate the contributions of all of those groups. We are already partnering with the French heritage organization, Les Amis. They're helping us stage the reenactment of the founding of St. Louis. They're working with Yale University and Washington University on a symposium about the impact of the founding of St. Louis on our region and on the nation. So those types of events and organizations and those diverse perspectives that they really bring and the understanding about that diversity that they bring, that's a huge priority for us. So we really encourage organizations that are actively working or representing or documenting the history of all of those diverse groups, really think about what you would like to be doing, because we can, I think, really help you tell that story.
Can you name a couple of other organizations that are involved at this point that people might or might not know?
Right. So we are actually talking with the Osage Tribe. I have a meeting with them tomorrow to really start talking through how can we formalize the different things that are going on. We have a request in to sit down and talk with folks from the Bosnian community as far as how can we really help them to reinforce the culture and the impact that they have had in St. Louis. And we really welcome, you know, more and more of those kinds of requests.
Let's go to the phone. Max and Baden, are you there? Yes.
Okay. Gigantic video projections. If you wanted to go emulsion, it could be clever, too. But here's the thing, and it's been done elsewhere on this planet. Where applicable, huge, gigantic video projections. Think the art museum. think the new library, the refurbished library downtown, and you could project images of the St. Louis Pass. You could do a mini mask and pageant, whatever you could do. It could be abstract. It could be there could be a lot of things. Am I communicating well?
Absolutely, Max. You know, I think it's a fantastic idea. And one thing that I heard you say was that we could do that. And, you know, what I would like to really kind of make sure that we are so clear about is that all of these kinds of ideas, they're wonderful ideas. They're opportunities for companies who do this kind of work and citizens like yourself who are passionate about it to really come together and figure out how to make that part of the celebration. You know, we would love to sit down and talk with you and other folks who might be willing and able to make that happen and figure out how we can support you in that effort.
And this could be done a number of times, well, depending how elaborate the setup would be. It could be done more than once during the year.
Absolutely.
The St. Louis Symphony does an annual late summer, early fall concert on Art Hill. People turning around and looking at the art museum with projections of the history of St. Louis or anything St. Louis related. I mean, you know, someone would have to decide what the program could be.
And it'd be amazing.
You know, how elaborate you want to make it? Do you want to make it with sound too? But here's the next question: how are you doing with a budget? I mean, who's going to fund all this?
Right. So again, Max, the intent of STL 250 is not to take a whole lot of dollars out of the economy that really funds our other nonprofit and civic-related organizations. We want to keep our organization as lean as we can, and a big part of that is being able to work with existing organizations like the Art Museum, like the Symphony, to leverage the work that they already have going on and to really infuse it with that meaningful 250th anniversary brand. So the dollars that we are raising, I'd say we're a strong 40% of the way where we need to be and have no doubt that we'll be able to finish that up soon.
Max, thank you so much for the call. I think you better go to that website. What's the address again, Aaron?
STL250.org, and there's a great place to register your events and your ideas.
And Max seems to have a lot of those.
Which
so
is
Max,
wonderful.
Max, go to the site. What about souvenirs?
Mm-hmm. So we're going to have lots of opportunities, yeah, whether it's in our signature events or other people's events. And the way that we're thinking about merchandising right now is really the same way we're thinking about events, that we know there are a lot of vendors out there who already do great St. Louis branded items, that they may want to actually create things for the 250th anniversary. And those are the kinds of items we'll have a look at. And if we bring them on as official merchandising partners, we'll put them on our website and really help to promote their items.
Does everything associated with this have to go through STL 250?
It, you know, so we are a hub, and we're only effective as a hub if we're really able to promote everything that's going on. So I like to think of that as our biggest value add, is that we can connect dots. We can really identify themes as they're emerging. We can shine the spotlight on things that really, you know, are very meaningful and need them. And so it makes a lot of sense and makes it even more impactful if we can be let known about it.
If someone wants to stage an event of some sort and works with you, do they have to pay for that privilege?
Absolutely not. No, this is their contribution to the success of the festival, and that's a major contribution.
Good to hear that. We always like to hear for bargains like that, Aaron Buddy. A couple of more Facebook messages here before we have to say goodbye. We have one from Dennis who says, I would highlight the arch. It says everything about how St. Louis is not a cow town, but a city with a real vision.
You know, you look back 50 years ago, so in 1964, that was our 200th celebration year. President Johnson was in town and had a big banquet on the 14th, and one of the things he really praised St. Louis for was the raising of the Gateway Arch, because it really was a great symbol of the can-do spirit of St. Louisans. And I don't think it's really serendipity that, you know, now 50 years later, we're concentrating on the arch again with the transformation of the arch grounds and the riverfront. So really helping to promote that great work that City Arch River is doing and Great Rivers Greenways with that transformation will be a big part of what we'll be doing.
Will there be anything special and specific on the arch grounds themselves?
The arch grounds really will be largely under construction for 2014. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think we can help make sure that people know about the progress and keep the energy high on it. But we'll have to really look outside of the arch grounds for some of those locations, but look forward to in 2015 when they're back there and can be kind of one of our best places to party.
Let me take this is a tweet from Zachary who writes, "The architecture. This city is full of almost every style of architecture there is. It's quite amazing."
Yeah, so when you think about where those 250 cakes are going, can't you imagine combining, you know, 50 or more of those in an architectural tour and really putting them in front of the best examples of Beaux-Arts or you know, Victorian architecture or Romanesque architecture? So I think it's a great idea, and it's a huge asset that makes us very unique.
Obviously, what you want to do and what the community at large wants to do is to show this town and this area, this region, in its best possible light. But we have challenges, too. Are they going to be ignored, or somehow do we acknowledge that?
No, I don't think you can mark a major milestone like this by keeping the conversation just to the positive. We've got a ton of momentum, but we also know we have things to work on. And we'll be collecting people's stories. By doing that, we can really help to identify where there's a critical mass of people who want to get together and talk about an issue. And we can connect them with the right organizations to host that conversation. So really by almost crowdsourcing, you know, the identification of our history and what people feel is most important today, I think that we can really help define places for those.
It would seem to me that that could be perhaps one of the most important things that would come out of a discussion like this.
You know, I think anytime the community has a chance to come together and have those conversations that are positive and that are problem-solving oriented, the outcomes for those can't be anything but positive.
Right. Well, our time is just about up, Aaron Buddy. Anything that we haven't talked about that is screaming in your brain to say, we've got to mention this?
You know, I think the only thing we really didn't touch on was volunteers. Yes. We are a volunteer-led organization. Mm-hmm. We've got a couple hundred people that are involved in very meaningful ways. On our website, other people who want to get involved as volunteers can sign up. We need ambassadors to tell stories. We need people to help with our signature events and our planning committees. We also need office help. We're a small-staffed organization. So all of those ways, we would welcome your involvement.
Okay. And once again, that website is?
www.stl250.org.
Aaron Buddy, I want to thank you so much for being with us. It's been a great pleasure to have you here. You've got a big job ahead of you over the next year or year and a half or so. Good luck to you in that.
Absolutely. And Don, you know, we wanted to make sure that we wish St. Louis Public Radio a happy birthday in their first year here in Grand Center. So we brought you some cupcakes and like to share that birthday spotlight.
Well, there are only six of them there, I see, Aaron. That will certainly take care of me. What about the rest of the staff?
I'm going to beat a hasty retreat before they find out I didn't bring enough.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for that. By the way, remind our listeners that our one-year birthday bash pales in comparison, obviously, to the region, is this Sunday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Thank you for those cupcakes, by the way. The host of NPR Snap Judgment, Glenn Washington, will be here. You'll also have an opportunity to tour our facility and wish our morning host, Bob McCabe, a happy retirement. Aaron, thank you so much.
Thanks a bunch, Don.
Again, good luck.
Thank you.
Next, Bob Cox, the man tapped to run the Missouri History Museum for now until a new museum president is named. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.